Good morning. So I'm going to be sharing with you this morning. Pastor Joe asked if I would share today. And the topic is on ministry. And one of the things that's happened over this past couple years that I know you guys are aware of is many in the body have been lulled into a place of complacency when it comes to ministering. Many who have been shut in for too long are afraid to come out. And Jesus calls us to love one another. He calls us to make disciples, to go forth and preach the word. And I think one of the things that's happened, especially over this last couple years, is there has been a lullaby gently lulling the church to sleep. And we get comfortable at home watching on YouTube or streaming the service. People stop coming and loving one another. People stop touching one another. People hide because they're in fear. And the thing is about ministry is ministry is all around us. And every single one of us here have a ministry that God has given to us. For the father, your ministry is your children. Your husband, it's your wife. We all have been given these ministries, but one of the key goals of the church and one of the main purposes of the church we find is in Ephesians chapter 4, 12, and it's the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time that we're about to have together in your word. Lord, please speak to us, Lord. Encourage us, strengthen us in our faith, Lord, as we commit this time to you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you all praise, Lord, and ask that you would work in our hearts this morning. Lord, minister to our hearts, Lord, and teach us how to minister to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the text is, ministry takes place when? Now, our men's discipleship class, for the guys who were a part of that, our last book was Warren Wiersbe on being a servant. And at the start of that book, he gave this wonderful definition of ministry. And he said, ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. Ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. And as we were reading that was at the start of the book, so this was probably a year ago. One of the things that was the sentiment was the church should hear this. The church needs to hear this. We get a lot of that, and it's like, because sometimes our men's group were thinking, it's not just for men. This is something the church needs to hear. And so that's the theme. I'm going to be repeating that quite a few times. And if you have room on your bulletin or you have a place to write it down, I highly, strongly recommend that you would write down that it's a wonderful definition of ministry. And one more time, it's ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. As I mentioned earlier, over this past 2 years, it seems as though many a believer, and I've even fallen into the trap, have fallen into complacency. And we stop ministering. We stop ministering, and that shouldn't be. Ministry is all around us, especially now. More than ever, we need to be busy about our Father's business, especially now. There are so many people that are in fear looking for some hope. And you, church, have the answer. You have that hope. It's like there's a disease far worse than COVID facing mankind. It's the disease of sin. And you have the antidote. It's not a vaccine. It's an antidote. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. That those who come to Jesus Christ can be forgiven and have eternal life. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says that God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Those divine resources that I mentioned. God has a limitless supply of resources, guys. Infinite resources God has. But you know what God is lacking on? Loving channels. Willing to give out those resources. We need the church to start ministering again. We need to get out there, church. We need to minister to people. People need to hear the good news. It's been over 2 years. Enough's enough. We need to get back out there and minister to people. As I mentioned earlier, ministry is everywhere. And for the mother and father, of course, your ministry is your children, your husband, your wife, your husband. But there's a ministry that takes place outside of our house. And that's the lost and dying world out there. And you come to church to learn and to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, but you also come to church so that you can be encouraged and be equipped to take what you hear here this morning and take it out to that lost and dying world out there, to share the love of Jesus with others. Grandparents, you have the ministry of your grandchildren. Ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. And this is where we're going to start this morning. If you would turn with me to Mark chapter 2, we're going to see a wonderful example of this ministry that has been defined. Mark chapter 2. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Everybody got it? And again, he, speaking of Jesus, entered Capernaum after some days. And it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. So Jesus was in a house at this time, preaching the word, and it was so packed that you couldn't even get near the house, even near the door, let alone to get to him. In fact, if you've ever seen a Black Friday sale, and they got a 75-inch TV for $20, try getting in that door. It's packed. Not going to happen. It was filled. And it says, then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning within their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, the loving channels in this ministry are these four men. Imagine this, being paralytic, certainly you're not moving, and sometimes even speech is affected in that. We don't know. We know that these four friends that carried this paralytic didn't give up. Even though it was packed, it seemed impossible to get in. They didn't give up. What was their mission? To get their friend to Jesus. Get their friend to Jesus at all costs. That's ministry. That's raw ministry right there, folks. To see opposition and see hurdles, and rather than turn tail and run or just give up, they pressed on. I'm sure the owner of the house wasn't happy about it, but they pressed on. And they went to the roof and they busted a hole in the roof. And they let down their friend to Jesus. Now, it says here in verse 5 that when Jesus saw their faith, and I believe it's in John or Matthew's account where he said great faith. He was very blessed by the faith of these men to not give up. And the first thing that Jesus said to the paralytic was, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And you'd think, well, we'd let our friend down to be healed. But see, there was a sickness much greater than his physical paralysis. And it was a spiritual sickness. It was sin. And Jesus dealt with the most important of the two. He dealt with this man's sin, whatever that was. And he said, "Your sins are forgiven you." Now, the Pharisees and the religious hypocrites, they, of course, stepped in and, who speaks these blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, you're right about that. Only God can forgive sins, and Jesus is God. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? Which is easier?" Well, if only God can forgive sins, that would be the harder way to go. That would be the tougher thing to do. He would be proving he is God. But he says, "Nevertheless, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." This man's life could have been completely different if these four friends didn't step in to help. Can you imagine laying there, probably praying, "Don't give up, I need to get to Jesus." And these four friends got him there. Not only was he healed spiritually when he was forgiven for his sins, but then Jesus said, "Just so you know who I am, so there's no question," he says to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed." And he did. Ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. And look at the result. Immediately he arose, he took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." You see the end result there? God was glorified. God was glorified. They didn't seek to glorify men. But the end result was God was glorified. And you can always tell when God is involved in a ministry when he gets the glory. But if the glory is on ourselves or the glory is on a man, then it is not of God. Because God will share his glory with no man. He will not share it. And God is a jealous God when it comes to his glory. So if self is being glorified, then that ministry is not of God. But if God is being glorified, it's a sure way to know he's in it. These friends didn't give up, though. And these are the absolute raw definition of loving channels to me. to give up all that they had, put everything aside for their friend, to lay everything down just to get their friend to Jesus. What do we do day by day and week by week, especially now? Are we still giving up of ourselves and giving up of our time to minister to others? Or have we been pulled into this trap of, I'm just going to watch out for me and my family? Because that's what the enemy's been giving people lately. That's one of the biggest lies, is people have been brought into this place where I'm just going to worry about me and my family right now. That's not how Jesus calls Christians to live. We're not to live for ourselves. We're to live for others. We're to put others first. And here's the thing. If we make the choice to do that, if we make the choice to give up our rights, as we should as believers, and we make the declaration that, Lord, I want to minister to others. I want to be used by you. God has plenty of resources for you to use. There's no excuse. But usually the thing that hinders us in ministry is what's going on in our heart. That definition of ministry, that loving channels, is very important. It's very important that we remain loving channels so that we can be used by God, so that we can be observant and see the needs of others and be others-minded, and then let God give the resources for that, and then point everything to Jesus after God has done something. His resources are endless. Another case I want to share with you, in Acts chapter 3, if you want to turn there. There are so many accounts throughout Scripture. I'm picking out a couple this morning. When ministry takes place. Acts chapter 3, verse 1-10. Remember, ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. So here's this man who is lame from his birth, who is carried to sit in front of a temple daily to beg for money, to sit outside the temple and hopefully play on the religious system and somebody thinking they're doing good works to give them money. And this was this man's life every day. Carried to the temple, because he's lame, he can't walk, to lay there and beg for money his whole life. Now Peter and John, as they are going to the temple, they are going to the temple to pray. They're going to worship the Lord. Modern translation, they're going to church. They're going to the house of God to pray. And while doing so, this man sees them. And as soon as Peter says to him, "Look at us," the man gives them his attention, expecting to receive something from them, expecting to receive money. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had just happened to him. Again, ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. And we see that this is the case in this section of Scripture. Peter and John said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, we give to you. And what they did have was a relationship with the one who gives out the divine resources. They had the relationship with Jesus Christ, and they were able to share that with him. And through that power, God healed this man, met his needs. His needs weren't for coins. His needs weren't for more change. His needs, he needed healing. Imagine, had Peter and John been walking to church and to see this man begging, and they did one of these numbers and just walked by. That happens all the time. It happens all the time. How many times do we get so busy and consumed in our whole life? And I'm not trying to guilt trip you. This is exactly how it is. We live in a culture of spoiled Christianity. We do. In church, if we don't get out there and minister to others and take time for the lost, then who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? We need to get out there and minister to others. You know, one of the things about Jesus in his earthly ministry is nobody was ever an inconvenience to the Lord. You notice that through Scripture? Nobody was an inconvenience. Jesus never gave the shoe away. He always made time for every individual that desired to see him. Even the little children. The little children came to Jesus, and it was the disciples. They said, hey, you little brats, the Lord doesn't have time for you. That's essentially what they said, because Jesus had to rebuke them. And he said, forbid the children to not come to me. Don't stop them from coming to me. He says, furthermore, such is the kingdom of heaven. To have faith as a child will be like the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus said, don't forbid these little ones to come to me. And Jesus had to rebuke the disciples. Do we have time for others? If God puts somebody in your path that's hurting, you need to make time for them. You know what? It's the time we've been given here on the earth, it belongs to the Lord anyways. You belong to the Lord. You are bought with the precious blood of Jesus. You are bought at a high price. We're not to live for ourselves. We're to live for others and put others first. This lame man's life, again, was changed radically. In fact, the first thing he did after being healed, he didn't run home and let the family know. And what did he do? He went right into the temple to praise God. God was glorified to the glory of God. God was glorified. God was in this. And every one of us here this morning, we may be like Peter and John. Hey, maybe we don't have silver and gold. That's all right. God's kingdom doesn't need money. What he needs is loving channels that are willing to share the love of Jesus with others. And that's free. It costs maybe a little bit of your time to share with others. But we need to get back to a place where we make time for others again. There are so many people out there hurting, they're lost, they're afraid, and they just need someone to take a few minutes to show that someone cares. That's why I'm so thankful here at this fellowship. You know, we've been open. And thank God for our elder board and Pastor Joe. We said, we don't dare shut these doors. Ever. This is where people come to find hope. It's a hospital for hurting souls in here. And none of us in this room have it all together. None of us. We're all a work in progress. Each and every one of us. And there are people out there that are a work in progress. And they need someone to take time to minister to them. Being loving channels is so important. In fact, it's in John chapter 13, verse 34, where Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you also, are to love one another." Being loving channels is very important. And in being loving channels, being observant of others, one of the things we have to do frequently is we need to have our hearts cleansed, because sin so easily creeps into our hearts. And we want to be vessels of honor, as the Bible tells us, to be vessels of honor. But sometimes, to be those vessels of honor, we need to clean the dirt out. We need to get the mud out of there. We need fresh living water in there. Fresh filling of God's Spirit. Because we can do nothing apart from the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can do nothing. We need to be Spirit-filled believers. That's being loving channels. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." There's no reason we shouldn't be loving channels. Jesus displayed his love for us, so we got to display love for others. And remember, ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. These are a couple examples here in Scripture I wanted to share with you and encourage you to get out there and minister. Maybe you're in a place of complacency spiritually. You're not alone. A lot of people in the church have kind of fallen asleep. It's just, like I said, it's like this dark lullaby came through the church and just lulled everybody to sleep. There's another example in Scripture I want to share with you. It's a few different scriptures, actually. Because this is probably the greatest example of ministry. And it's Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The greatest ministry of all was Jesus, the Son of God, coming to this world, living a life sinless, and becoming sin for us. Divine resources, Jesus. Human needs, we needed forgiveness. Loving channels, God himself. And for the glory of God, he saved us. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Never was there a greater example of a loving channel being used in ministry than Jesus. And the suffering that he went through, the torment, all those things he did because he loves you. It's mind-blowing, really. But that is your worth. Your worth is not measured by what anybody on this earth says. Your worth is measured by the blood of Jesus that was shed for you. God says you are worth dying for. So it doesn't matter what anybody says. You're worth dying for. And that's from God. But are we using what God has given us to be out there and to continue ministering. Jesus gave everything, didn't he? He surrendered it all when he went to the cross. Remember in the garden as Jesus was praying so vehemently, the tears were coming like blood. And he said, Father, if there be any other way for this cup to pass, and that was the cup of suffering, he says, but nevertheless, your will be done. He knew what was coming. He knew the torment he was going to face, the separation from God the Father, bearing the sins of mankind upon himself. And yet, he did it for you and for me. So can we take a few moments out of our day to minister to others, or is it going to be inconvenient when God puts somebody in your path? It's a good question to ask ourselves and challenge ourselves with, because I honestly believe you watching, you here this morning, we all need to be challenged to get out of our comfort zone and minister to others. We really do. And you know exactly what I mean. The Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. You know exactly what I mean. You need to take time for others again. Start making time for others. You see somebody hurting on the side of the road, you stop and ask how they're doing. You see somebody at the store, and even if they got a mask on, you can see through their eyes how saddened and worried they are. You can ask how they're doing and wait for a response. Just talk to someone. People need to know that they're loved. People need to hear it. And folks, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You have been given the greatest gift of all, the greatest love of all, Jesus Christ. Ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. Divine resources, God's infinite supply. Human needs, being others-minded. Being loving channels. We need to remain loving vessels. And then, of course, God gets all the glory. When the motive is love and the result is the glory of God, that's real ministry. That's real ministry. I want to close with a section of scripture I'd like to read to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Paul's prayer for the church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, Paul says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Establishing your hearts blameless. And that's our prayer. That's my prayer for you and for myself, is that we would be willing to answer the call to minister to others, to take time for others. And the first step to doing that is this, having a relationship with Jesus Christ, because it doesn't happen any other way. You must be born again. You must experience being spirit-filled and being forgiven before you can experience the peace of God and then go to minister to others in his name. You must be born again. And so as we close this morning, we want to give you the opportunity this morning. I don't know where you're at spiritually, but God does. And if you're here this morning and you have not given your life over to Jesus Christ, we want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning, to pray and ask God to forgive you, to then be filled with his Holy Spirit, be washed and made clean, because that's what we need first. And so as we close this morning, If you would like to pray this morning and invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, then I'd like you to slip your hand up wherever you're at, sitting down. If you would like to pray this morning and receive Jesus, just slip up your hand and I'm going to pray this prayer. Anybody before we close, that you have a relationship with Jesus is the most important thing. If you're watching on YouTube and you need to surrender to Jesus Christ, I'm going to pray this simple prayer of faith, which you can pray with me, anybody who would like to receive Jesus. I'm going to pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sins. I come to you asking for forgiveness. Cleanse me, wash me, and make me new. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The second step is, if you are born again, ask God to fill you afresh with His Spirit. Maybe you're spiritually dry this morning and you need prayer. You need a fresh filling of God's Spirit. And by faith, we're going to do that now. We're just going to another prayer of faith. And if that's you this morning and you're a believer, a child of God, then I'd like you to stand up and we could pray and ask for a fresh filling of God's Spirit so that we can minister to others and that we could be the vessels of honor for God. This is so important. Guys, just pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Fill me afresh with your Spirit. Fill me overflowing. And help me to be minister as you called me to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, church. God loves you so much and He wants us to be the ministers that He's called us to be. Remember this. Ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. And we're going to, while you're standing, we're going to worship.